Good morning, brethren. It's a pleasure to see each of you this morning. That is something that the preacher often says, or says a lot, but at least I mean it sincerely. I am glad to see you. You are my brothers and my sisters. You are my family, the family of God, so I'm glad to be with you this morning. This morning, I want to talk about Isaiah 1 in verse 18. Isaiah 1 in verse 18. It's really a very simple verse. The Lord says, come now, let us reason together. So when we see that, the significance of that is that God wants to communicate to me. And not only does he want to communicate to me, we have to come to a middle ground. That's what's going on when you have a reasoning session with someone. You say this, I say that, you say this, I say, oh, I get that, I understand that. So that's what that's all about. Come, let us reason together, says the Lord. That is a wonderful statement, and even though while it is so wonderful, there are many in the world who don't reason with God. They don't use their brain, they don't use their mind to see God's creation round about, to be with God in worship service, to honor our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins. God says, pretty simply, you guys have sinned. I'll fix that for you. Let me talk to you about this. Why don't you reason this out? This makes all the sense in the world. And we say, well, yes, it does, Lord. And so we follow through on God's gospel plan of salvation. But once again, so many folks are just ignoring God. Even though Genesis 1 and verse 1 states, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. You know, you wouldn't know where people come from unless you believe the Bible, that it says what it says in Genesis 1, verse 1, God created the heavens and the earth. You wouldn't have any footing, you wouldn't have any foundation in life without knowing your past. And, you know, I know my dad. I never met my grandparents on my dad's side, so I don't know much about them at all. But I do know that I can take the Bible and go all the way back to the beginning and see my forefathers. Your forefathers, my friends, Moses, Abraham, the people of God in those days, the priests, the kings, and finally it filters on out to people today. 8 billion people on the earth, they all come from Adam and Eve. 8 billion people on the earth, and they all come from God. So you can see that in a baby's eyes, that is God's creation. I'm not calling it a miracle, don't misunderstand me. Although it feels like it, seems like it, you can see God in baby's eyes. At least I believe so. When God speaks to us, then it's pretty clear that we should listen to what he has to say. Now, in 1 Samuel 3, verses 9 through 10, Samuel is lying before the Ark of the Covenant, asleep at night. Eli's in his bed, and Samuel hears something, and he gets up and runs to Eli, and he says, here I am, for you have called me. And Eli says, I did not call you. Go back and lie down. And so Samuel hears the words again, and he gets up and he goes to Eli. Eli says, I did not call you. Go back and lay down. And I think it happens a third time. And Eli finally realizes that it's actually God speaking to Samuel. And he tells Samuel, if you hear that again, then say, here I am, Lord. So Samuel goes back. He hears again the voice of God. And that's exactly what Samuel does. He allows God to talk to him. And he gives him a prophecy about Eli and his family, and how that they're going to come to ruin for all the things that they have done and all the things that their children have done. So, you know, if God created everything, and if it's intelligent creation, that means all those little bugs in the dirt are doing their thing, all those little amoebas that are doing their things in the water, all those little seeds are doing their things, so they sprout up and give us food, and all the things that we are all about, we are all created. If there is intelligent design behind creation, and if the Creator is still involved in people's affairs in this lifetime, even right now, right today, and He is, Acts 17 says a lot about that. We read the Bible, He affects our lives every day. So God is still acting in this world. He did not leave it alone, as the deists would say. So if God is still active in the world, and then if He spoke to us, wouldn't it seem reasonable, logical, that we would want to hear what God has to say? He's the most significant entity in everything, in the physical world and the spiritual world. And when I mean most, I mean that the star Alpha Centauri and all those other planets and all those other suns, I think they've just now found out how big the universe is, celestially speaking. I don't know how they measured that, but I think that's the case. And they've been able to measure our own galaxy. So if that's the case, and God is so magnificent that if we were to see Him right now, we would fall down on our faces that much, that far, because God is so magnificent and glorious. So if He spoke to us, then wow, what ought we to do? We are His people. Then if your mind actually starts inquiring about God, Hebrews 11:6 says, it is not possible to please God until you seek Him with all your heart. And you will find Him. And when you find Him, there will be a great reward. So Hebrews 11:6 fills us in on some information that God speaks to us, and God even has rewards for us. Now, we haven't spoken about that yet, but you know what those rewards are. The physical blessings of this life, heaven, eternally, the time we spend with Jesus in eternity, the time that we spend with the Father in eternity, the Holy Spirit. I'm interested in seeing an angel, aren't you? That would be pretty cool. If you ever read Ezekiel, man, there's some weird stuff that's going on there. So, we get to be there. We get to see all those things. And what's more, if I pass and if Darla passes and we both end up in heaven, we'll be able to recognize one another. That's a promise by God. I don't know exactly how our bodies will be, except that we'll be spirits. And we will be recognized as the people we are right now. However, we will be able to see Grayson and Mike and Sandra and Aaron and all the people here. If all of you pass, we'll be able to visit one another. So when you think about those things, if people would just give consideration to the Bible, to the things that God has said, life would be so much better physically upon this earth. Even though you get rough patches and tough times, tough people succeed. And you are tough people because you are God's people. If that's the case, then we need to take a look at the scriptures. And then John 17:17 tells us, Jesus is speaking to the Father, and He says, sanctify them, set them apart by your truth. Your word is truth. That is objective, real truth. It's not theoretical. It's not a guessing game. God gives us what he wants us to know. And as the old saying goes, you can go to the bank on that statement. You can trust your life to that statement. You can trust him because he is that kind of God that cares for his creation. Once again, if you look at Acts 17 and all of the different places where God interacts with people, then you can trust all of those things. So we've got to turn and use our Bibles. Why? Psalm 109, 119, 105. God gives direction to us. Your word is a lamp to my feet. And if it's dark, and we do live in a dark, sinful world, the steps that we take forward, we are shown the way by God's word, by God's light, by God's lamp. And in that, we walk in the dark times through this world by God's light. And we're going to be able to see God's light because he is glorified all the time. He is glory itself. And when we get to heaven, we're going to see him. And we're going to glorify him and sing praises to him. But if you take a look at John 20 and verse 31, John 20 and verse 31, the scripture has it there that Jesus did many other miracles that are not written in this book. But these are written so that you might believe and be saved. Isn't that the object of our topic this morning? To come to the Father, reasoning in your mind, all of the things that God said, and I get to the point in my life where, yeah, I better do what God wants me to do. Take a look, please, with me on 2 Thessalonians. 2 Thessalonians. I'm giving you a free verse this morning. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, beginning in verse 7. To give relief to you who are afflicted along with us when the Lord Jesus will be revealed. Now, if you read some other things within the scriptures, the entire world will see Jesus when he returns. People in North America, and strangely enough to me, I don't know how that works out, people in China, the opposite sides of the earth. Everybody will see Jesus all at the same time. When the Lord Jesus will be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels. Now, I know angels from scripture. Man, they are incredibly mighty. They do things that we can't even imagine. But it goes on to say, here's his mighty angels in flaming fire this time, dealing out retribution. Now that's a strange word for a gospel sermon. Retribution. What is that? If you hit me, I'm going to hit you back. Retribution. If you steal money from me, I'm going to steal money from you. Retribution. If we sin and rebel against God, God's going to destroy us. That's retribution. So what's the deal here? Dealing out. God using the angels to deal out retribution to those who do not know God. And it doesn't end there. We'll get back to it in just a second. Those who do not know God. Some people don't know God because they've never looked at the scriptures. They've never looked at the evidence round about. It's imperative that people use the Bible to determine what it is that God says and what God wants from us. That's kind of sort of the definition of God. If there is a God, you obey him. Even the Old Testament tribes round about had their own God. Baal, for example. Asherah, for example. And they all gave homage to those idols. After all, we want a good crop of wheat this year. So what do? You go over to Baal and say, hey, please give us a good crop of wheat. And go to the Asherah pole and pray to Asherah and say, Asherah, I really need these crops to come in this year. That's the thought. If there's a God, then you have to pay attention to him. Because if you don't, it's going to cost you. But it goes on to say, in flaming fire, dealing out retribution to those who do not know God and to those who do not obey what? The gospel. So if you don't obey the gospel, which is kind of interesting wording because, you know, you read about the gospel plan and salvation in the scriptures. You could actually go to the gospels and choose every statement that relates to salvation in those gospels that Jesus said. We don't, this is going to sound strange, we don't have to go to Romans 9 and 10. We don't have to go to Romans 10, 17. We don't have to go to various places in the scripture where it says this is what God wants people to do. We can learn it from the words of Jesus Christ. And I know they're from Jesus because they're in red. That's what the Bible is printed like. And not only that, it gives you evidence that Jesus is speaking. So, the Bible gets you where you truly want to be. My mom and dad are past. I don't know about them. I don't know where they are. All of my relatives, most every one of them have passed. I don't know where they are. Maybe you've had relatives, family, friends that have passed. Do you know where they are right this moment? The Bible explains that. It's a pretty sad condition if they don't, if they had not obeyed the gospel. That's what God says. Now then, where do I truly want to be? Well, I want to be in the very best place possible. 1700s, a writer named Voltaire, he said, this world is the best of all worlds. This world is the best of all possible worlds. So Earth is where it's at. Thin may be in, but Earth is where it's at. You've probably heard that before. And if that's the case, then pay attention to what God has to say. If you don't, bad things are going to happen. Obviously, the reward is out of this world. We might say spiritually true and philosophically true. If that's the case, the reward, what is it, the reward? God gives us a reward. Would you want to take a look at 2 Timothy 4, 7 through 8 with me? 2 Timothy 4, 7 and 8. Paul says, I have fought the good fight. And there were a lot of battles he had to go through. A lot of things, a lot of instances of really difficult, hard, super hard times. People were always shouting at him. People were always throwing rocks at him. He had shipwrecks in the Mediterranean. There was just a lot of things. He had stripes that were given to him, whippings that were given to him. But he went through all of those things and yet persevered to Jesus Christ. And that's why he says, I have fought the good fight. Well, why is that a good fight? You see that word good there? Because it's God's fight. It's God's battle against the forces of evil in this world. And that's what we're all about. As we live on this earth as God's people, we battle the forces of evil every day in our lives. He also says, I finished the course. So Paul is about to die. He says that, I think, in verse 6. His time on this earth is about over. And he's about to die. And he says, look, I've been faithful since Acts 9 all the way up to now. They're about to kill me, probably with the sword. And that's, according to legend, that's exactly what happened. Somebody chopped Paul's head off with the sword. That's just legend. I don't know if that's true. But Paul said, I have finished the course. And when you get down to the end of your life, if you have remained a Christian throughout all your days, you have fought the good fight. You have finished the course. I have held on to the faith. In the future, you could use the word therefore, in the future, there is reserved for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all who have loved his appearing." That's instruction for us. It's instruction for Timothy. It's also instruction for us. What does Jesus say in Revelation 2 and verse 10? "Be faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life." So we have to take God's word, and we have to live it out every day in our lives. There's one interesting thing that's found in Luke 23, verse 43. There are a couple of guys that are crucified with Jesus. And at first, they're mocking him, making fun of him. But then one of them says, "If you are the Christ, save me. Put me in the kingdom." And the other guy, the other robber, says, "Hey, you know what? We're up here on the crucifixion cross because we deserve it for all the bad things that we've done. Okay, we've been evil and we're getting the just payment. But this man has done nothing." And he also asked Jesus, "Remember me when you come in your kingdom." And what does Jesus reply? "This day you will be with me in paradise." Now, if we do a study on the word paradise, it's not really heaven. I don't know if it's adjacent to heaven. I don't know. I can't get that picture. But when you say paradise, what do you think of the word? What do you imagine? What do you see in your mind's eye? I see an absolutely beautiful place. It's a place of rest. We will enjoy being there. And one day we will be with the Lord Jesus Christ after that day of judgment. So that's the thing. We want to be